This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was recorded in the month of July of the year 2019, and it's being put on audio in the month of June of the year 2024. That's just short of 5 years difference between it being published and it being put on audio. Also, this is also part number 2 of a 7-part series dealing with this particular subject. Now, the reason why I gave you the dates as far as between the time that it was published and the time that it was being put on audio is because I might be mentioning some people, places, things, or events that took place that were relevant back then, which may or may not be relevant today. And if I come across something like that, I will try to give you a heads up on it. However, as I always say, when it comes down to the Word of God, it is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Now, our subject scripture is taken from the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse number 4. And as I said, this is for July of the year 2019. And if you have the scriptures available, you'll find these words recorded. The Apostle Paul writes, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Our subject title for this message is "This is War," part number 2. When I left off last month, I made the statement that this will not stand. This is war. The reason why I put it like that is because as far as God or Jesus Christ and all of Christianity is concerned, there is no such thing as compromise with an enemy that is out to destroy you and all you are supposed to be standing for. It is either them or us. Destroy or get destroyed. That's it. There is an old church hymn that's entitled "Onward Christian Soldiers," which, judging by what I see and hear from many in churches today, they have never heard it because it has been thrown out for the purpose of political correctness. They probably look at the words and deduce they probably look at the words and deduce it promotes violence, which certainly in their mind does not represent the love of God. However, if we look at what the Bible says about this perspective, we will see something quite different. What was the purpose of Christ coming here in the first place? It was to destroy the works and strongholds of the enemy so that man could be set free from the bondage of sin and be reunited with the Father. 1 John chapter 3 verse number 8, which is the John in the back of the Bible, a few books ahead of Revelation, not the Gospel of John, but go near back to Revelations and come forward about 3 or 4 books or chapters there, and you'll see 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8 says this: He that committeth sin is servant or in bondage to the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might, now, and the emphasis is on destroy the works of the devil. Notice the word destroy. Does that sound anywhere like showing love or compromise? The vast majority of us know what happens in a war. A massive number of people get killed and things get destroyed, usually on both sides, until one side surrenders or is wiped out completely. That is war. Defeat is when the enemy is no longer capable of presenting a threat to anyone. If they are still capable of being a threat, then that is not victory, it is compromise. When Jesus was here, he accomplished that purpose through his birth, suffering, crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. But how many of you know that even though an enemy is defeated or destroyed, new threats are likely to come in the near or distant future? If you will notice Jesus' mission, it was to destroy the works of the devil and not to destroy him, the devil. That will come later. So, in order to keep the status quo after he departed, he empowered the church by way of the Holy Ghost to continue the mission of going around and setting those that were still held captive to the devil or to sin free. And in order to set someone free from bondage, you essentially have to break into the person's house, prison, or wherever they are holding captive in order to set them free. That means you have to do it by force. And since the enemy isn't going to roll over and play dead, or just let you in to take his possessions, that means conflict. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 29 says, Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? So how in the world can a Christian stand and say that we need to sit down and find common ground with those that are our enemy? It is simple. You can't. They are the enemy. And unless you render them incapable of mounting a threat to you and yours, you better know that they will rise up against you at some point later when you have your guard down. If you consider this verse in the Bible, Luke chapter 4, verse number 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now this here we see the aftermath of the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. The result was Jesus defeated him, and so he went away from him for a little while. One would ask, why didn't he destroy him? The answer to that is a little complex, but basically, his time is coming. But for now, he is serving God's purpose on the earth. What purpose is that, you might ask? It is to reveal and separate those that are true worshipers of God from all others, knowing that only those that are true will make it into heaven. If there were no temptation to do evil, then many would presume mankind would not do it. However, there is and has always been a side of man that tends to want to do what he wants to do. And just like Lucifer, who was one of, if not the most beautiful angels that God created until iniquity was found in him. Go read Ezekiel chapter number 28, verses 11 through 19. Here we see that Lucifer was, for all intents, perfect, because God doesn't create anything that is imperfect. Yet we see that iniquity was found in him. It got there because of self-pride. Lucifer had basically fallen in love with himself. Look at verse number 17 in that passage of scripture I just gave you. He got to the point, as mentioned in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, where he even wanted to be even or equal with God. Consequently, if Lucifer could develop into this type of being, then what makes you think man would not follow the same path given the opportunity? Which brings me back to the point that as long as mankind walks the earth, the children of God, Christians, are going to be under attack by an enemy that wants to get back at God. God's response is to equip us with the proper weapons of warfare to do battle with him or them, talking about the enemy and the devil. Now, if he is going to battle for us, as many saints have had the mistaken idea that he will, Then why all the weaponry? We could just pray and sit back and wait for God to defeat them. That's what Saul and his army did when Goliath challenged them in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through until the end. And that is what most saints are doing today. They were or are paralyzed by fear of battle, so they retreat behind the four walls of their churches and houses and do the safest thing: pray. Let's go back and look at Saul and his army and what God did about their praying and fear. God sends the unlikeliest solution to the problem, a young lad named David. Now here they are, as most of you are today, looking for God to rain down lightning and thunderbolts and wipe him, Goliath, out. And God, instead of doing that, sends a boy. How many of you are looking at someone that God has sent to tell you what you need to be doing and saying, and you're saying, this can't be God's answer? Do you know why you are saying that? Because most of the time, you are praying the solution you want to see and not the solution that God provides. Consequently, if it comes any other way, then you reject it. That is what happened when David confronted Saul and his army as to why they were hunkered down and not going out to meet this challenge. I am asking you the same question today. Instead of them going out against Goliath, they jump on God's answer, David. Instead of you standing up against the immorality that is passing for political correctness, you are jumping on anyone that God sends to tell you to get out there and fight against it. How can you fight against it, you ask? First, you need to know what is and is not of God's liking. You can't battle an enemy successfully if you can't identify him, her, or it. You have probably heard of soldiers and policemen being injured and even killed by friendly fire. This means that those on the side of the victim are responsible for what happened to them. For the most part, it was an accident. When it comes to our fight against the devil or against evil, the same thing is happening, but it is not by accident, it is deliberate. Just like in the case of David, he was essentially attacked by his own brothers. Today, the biggest enemy that the messenger of God has, believe it or not, is other Christians. These are people who, for whatever reason, don't know who and what is the enemy. All they know is someone is telling them that this certain person or group is the enemy, while this other person or group is their friend. So they go along with them without question. So why are they like this? Poor leadership from pastors and others who are in leadership positions, but are just as ignorant or even worse, knowing what is what, but choosing to enrich themselves by destroying a possible threat to their own livelihood and power over the people. The result, the solution that God sent, gets squelched, and the people continue to suffer while these same Christians remain on their knees wondering when God will send the answer. Consequently, we need to identify these preachers in leadership positions that are leading the people astray and get as far away from them as possible. Sticking with them is a certain recipe for disaster. Why? Because they are serving the devil and don't even know it, and as a result, those that align with them will reap the reward that the devil has coming. Hell was not meant for man, but for the devil. However, since man chooses to follow him, talking about the devil, then he, man, will receive the same reward. In Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 41, we find these words: "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." However, since man chooses to follow him, talking about the devil, God says in James chapter 5 and verse number 14, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." You know, it's a funny thing about the devil. He tries to be inconspicuous, but what he says and does provides a clear key to his and his followers' identity. Notice in the first scripture above, when I used or said or emphasized the word left, God says that those on his left will be sent to everlasting torment. Now, if you will look at our political parties, one identifies itself as the left while calling the other party the right. So, the left boldly identifies themselves for all to see, and knowing what will happen to them, why would anyone with any sense choose to join them? More next month. Well, that's the end of part two of our 7-part message. And I hope that you are beginning to get some feel as to what the message is about, but it all has to do with one thing, and that is just what is the position of the church in this day and time supposed to be when it comes down to dealing with the enemy. As I said earlier, prayer is good, but you got to be able to do something more than just be praying about something. Because anybody can pray, get behind four walls and get on your knees and pray and fast and do all that other good stuff. But that's not going to necessarily defeat the enemy, because in the case of political parties and stuff like that, it takes more than that. It takes something to cause them to change their way of thinking or their minds or something like that. And that's where the demonstration of the power of God comes in. But the people will have to know that it is from God, that it is the power of God that's being manifest, or that their circumstances are being brought about by God. But that all comes through the fact of the man, Christians, getting out here and confronting a problem rather than staying behind four walls and praying about it. So I'm not going to go into any details about, you know, expounding on what was just mentioned in the message. You can do that for yourself. So I'm going to just close out by just saying that this is Evangelist George McTyre saying to you and your families, may God bless you and your family real good until we get together next time, hopefully for part three of this message. Good day.